This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. SpaceX launching another Starship rocket, but it spun out of control and broke apart, falling back to Earth shortly after liftoff. President Trump set to pardon reality TV stars Todd and Julie Chrisley, who were sentenced to years in prison for defrauding banks out of tens of millions of dollars. A big change to CDC guidelines created during the pandemic. ABC senior Washington correspondent Rachel Scott with more.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is a noted vaccine skeptic, announced on social media that the CDC will no longer be recommending COVID-19 vaccines for healthy children or healthy pregnant women. Now, this catching doctors off guard because it did bypass the traditional CDC process that includes an independent review and also consulting with medical professionals.
Macy's department stores and says profits slipped in the first quarter and says more customers are cautious about the trade war. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A proposed fee increase could affect La Crosse property owners in a little over a month from now. The Stormwater Utility is proposing an increase of nearly $10 per month to help pay for operating costs and capital projects. A second proposal would then add a 22% fee increase for January 1st and annual 3% increases to account for inflation for the 3 years after that. The proposals will be considered by the Finance and Personnel Committee at its June 5th meeting. If they pass, they would go to the Common Council the week after. There's no estimated reopening date set for the Black Hawk Bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa. The Iowa DOT said last week that they confirmed one of the bridge's piers moved, creating a safety issue. The 94-year-old bridge has been closed since May 17th and was also closed for nearly 2 months last year for emergency repairs. People are being reminded to not go around the barricades on the closed bridge. The closest river crossings are in La Crosse or Prairie du Chien. A new bridge is under construction and expected to open in 2027. The budget bill currently being considered in Congress would change the number of people receiving SNAP benefits. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
Wisconsin Medicaid Director Bill Hanna says those enrolled in the program are already living on the margin, and small dollar changes will force them to make very difficult life choices between choosing health care or choosing food. Hanna says the cuts would cost Wisconsin approximately $314 million every year and put 90,000 state residents at risk of losing SNAP benefits.
Changes to Medicaid and Medicare, environmental permits, and other items are also in the bill passed by the U.S. House. It'll be a day and night of overcast skies before we warm up heading into June. In addition to cloud cover, there'll be a chance of scattered showers overnight into Thursday. We'll see temperatures tomorrow in the mid to upper 70s before rising well into the 80s over the weekend. In addition to warmer temperatures, we'll have mostly sunny skies with small chances of scattered showers Friday into Saturday. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A walk-off win for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bottom of the 10th. Score tied 1-1. The Brewers' Christian Yelich at the plate on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Fly ball to deep right! It is way back! First career walk-off home run for Yelich!
A 400-yard shot to center field. The Brewers winning 5-1 last night. Manager Pat Murphy.
He's been swinging the bat great. Yeah. Special night for him.
Christian Yelich, on what kind of a pitch did he see from the Red Sox Liam Hendricks?
You know, kind of just caught a slider, right? And a big win for us. You know, we battled the whole time, and great team win all around.
The series wrapping up today. College football. Former Badgers wide receiver Quincy Burroughs signed by Western Kentucky. NFL. Packers OTAs continue in Green Bay without Jair Alexander or center Elgton Jenkins. Both players in talks to renegotiate their contracts. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers or a thunderstorm possible today. Our high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy with a low dropping to near 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house, they got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk movies and about the box office with Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller. Then Dennis Graham, founder of Rockconson, joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
All right, the coffee cup has been refilled. Let's do this. Third hour of the program today on this Wednesday morning, May 28th, live from Lake Wissota. Let's see, we've got Parker Olson on the board, and Greg is back in 1 hour, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by to update the forecast for us. We'll be talking to Earl Ingram in just a few moments here. We'll get into the lead problems in Milwaukee and what, if anything, the Trump administration is doing about it, or what they say they're doing about it. We may get into a very high-profile murder trial that's about to get started in Milwaukee as well. Dan Schaefer still ahead. We may talk to James Kelly from Chippewa Falls about stories that he's following for Civic Media too. And the Brewers got a big walk-off home run, grand slam from Christian Yelich to beat the Brewers yesterday, 5-1 in 10 innings. So on that happy note, let's go to meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Because the weather is, well, look, it's a little rainy. It's quite damp here in Chippewa Falls, actually, as well. But there's still a need for the rain before, especially if we've got a big warm spell coming up, right?
I agree. Yes. We are still 5% of the state is in a drought that is far south in the state, right along the state line. So you can use every single drop. There is still abnormally dry conditions, both far north and far south. Good chunk of the central parts of the state. We're good to go, but, you know, we could always use extra rainfall. We're not looking at too much today, only about a quarter of an inch. You've already seen that in places just south of La Crosse already this morning. This line is pretty much extending from Eau Claire all the way through Madison and then down into Chicago this morning. It is going to continue to lift north through the state late this morning, through this afternoon, and then we could see some spotty small storms start to spark up later this afternoon, maybe around 3 to 5 or so. Those are not expected to be strong or severe, but we could see some more moderate rainfall with those. Now, of course, it's going to be darker and damp and kind of dreary all day today. The winds are barely moving. Temperatures are very comfortable, anywhere from about 50 to 60 degrees right now. And then the highs today will reach the mid-60s far south. You're going to be a little bit cooler with that rain out there. And then about 70 up north. That's the highs for today. And of course, the rain stops by tomorrow. It'll be done by midnight, actually, but the sun will be peeking out tomorrow in full force as we go into the weekend. We will keep getting warmer. More humidity and mugginess is going to start to seep in by Friday. And then by next week, it is going to be feeling like summer. We're going to be dripping sweat with the humidity and heat headed our way. Because we're looking at mid-80s with dew points in the mid-70s next week.
Ooh. Really?
Ooh. Yes.
So this weekend is kind of the Goldilocks end of all of this? Which
pretty much.
For a whole bunch of people who are planning graduation parties or weddings or anything like that, you are their hero. So,
oh, good. You know, good. Yeah. Yes. It's fantastic. Nothing but sunshine, dry conditions, perfect temperatures. Perfect. This weekend's fantastic.
That's great, Brittany. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later. Hey, by the way, if you ever miss one of our previous hours, the 6 a.m. hour, the 7 a.m. hour, you want to listen back to a guest that was on, you can always head to civicmedia.us. And right there, we put all of the shows on the website, and you can call them up as individual. Each hour is its own episode. So you don't have to listen to like a 3-hour show. You can listen to, you know, just the 6 a.m. hour, for example, and catch something that you missed. All the show descriptions are on there. We tell you who the guests were. And you could get this by podcast as well. And I'd say go over to Spotify. I actually just became a Spotify customer recently. And you can catch our podcast that way or through Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. However you do it, we'd love to have you take us along so that you can listen on demand on those days when you can't happen to catch it on the radio. And yes, Tony says, how about on YouTube too? Yes, we could. You could watch it on YouTube live and comment as Tony and Cassandra and everybody else does throughout the course of the morning. You can add your comments too. And as far as show highlights go on YouTube, well, that's my next project for Tony, is just to make like the 10-minute condensed version, all the really funny stuff. Well, the really funny stuff would be a 3-minute show, but we'd put some guest stuff in there too. So maybe we go about doing that. Reminder to reach the show, not just in the comment sections on YouTube or Facebook, but you can call or text us 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, and use that Civic Media app to call or text us as well. Let's bring Earl Ingram into the program now to talk about a couple of matters that he's following in the Milwaukee area for Civic Media. Earl, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, Pat. How are you?
I'm great. It's so nice to have you along here. And I want to start first with the whole lead paint, lead in the water situation there, especially in light of the comments by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy, who said something along the lines to a CNN anchor of, you know, we've got a team in Milwaukee working on this. And Earl, it took about 8 seconds for that to be proven not to be the case. And I feel like that illustrates in a nutshell the ongoing problems Milwaukee's having finding allies to get this lead problem rid of once and for all.
So before I respond to what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said, I think we need to clarify a couple things. Number one, the lead crisis is a national crisis.
True.
And so people link Milwaukee to the lead crisis, and the problem with that is they fail to understand that this is all over the nation. It's in rural America, it's in urban centers, and yet because it's connected to urban centers, I think people are not looking at what's taking place in their own backyards. And so what we plan on doing, I know in the coming weeks and months, is putting together a national series, a 12-part series that's going to have the top scientists and doctors across this nation to express and explain and wake people up to the scourges of lead paint and lead in the water that's all over this nation that's causing mayhem. And the fact that we have a nation that's covering all of this up, we have politicians and others on both sides of the equation who have refused to address this lead issue. And so as long as it's considered to be a Milwaukee problem and an urban problem, it's not getting the necessary exposure that it should be receiving.
Earl, you are 100% correct, and I should have made that clear from the very beginning as well. I've just become so used to the antagonism or antipathy toward Milwaukee from legislators that frankly, even in asking the question, I bought into the framing rather than acknowledging that when Republican legislators said a couple of years back, well, most of the money would go to Milwaukee, what they were really doing was they were saying that for some of the communities in their own districts that you didn't even count, that we're so anti-Milwaukee that we will ignore the lead problem in the rest of the state just to spite, you know, the state's biggest city.
Well, you know, you're talking to a guy who's 70 years old, who's lived in Milwaukee for all 70 of those years, born in Milwaukee, and will die in Milwaukee. And so I know all of those things that have been going on at infinitum in this state. and the fact that they can't ignore what is taking place in our city. It's kind of ridiculous considering that only 38.6% of Milwaukee is black, and so the rest of it is white, a majority. And so when you look at it from a, with a jaundiced eye, you don't just punish the people of color in the city of Milwaukee, you punish all the other residents as well. And I will say this to you, Pat, when people, I think people fail to understand that exposure to lead can affect multiple body systems, and in particularly harmful to young children. We constantly talk about all of the crime and all of those things that are taking place in the city of Milwaukee. There's the statistical evidence that will point to the fact that for generations, children have been poisoned by lead in this city, as it is even in rural America. We talk about right now Milwaukee Public Schools and what's happening there. Well, I would say that people need to look at the schools wherever they are. Any building that was built before 1970 contains lead. And so people are being contaminated. And the scourges of lead and what it leads to, especially in pregnant women and their fetuses and the babies, is a tragedy. And the fact that our nation says it can't afford to eradicate the scourges of lead are unacceptable. When you talk about the fact that children who are our future, what can be more valuable than the future of your nation, are being poisoned by this, and we're the wealthiest nation on earth, and yet we don't seem to be concerned enough about the future of our children, which are the future of our nation, that we work collectively to eradicate this.
And you talk about buildings built before 1970. My goodness, there are like four or six Milwaukee public school buildings still in use that were built not before 1970, before 1900, that are still in use and obviously still have these lead paint issues because they face the budget pressures that come from a legislature that is insisting on budget austerity and, you know, sticking it to Milwaukee, as, you know, Tommy Thompson famously said all those years ago. So this is a national concern. This is something that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services should be paying attention to. So when Secretary Robert Kennedy made that false claim about helping out in Milwaukee, again, it only adds insult to injury and shows us, in my mind, we have an HHS secretary that, for all of the other questionable views that he has, either does not know the seriousness of the lead issue or doesn't care. And I'm not sure which is worse.
So Milwaukee Public Schools has 156 schools. And when you talk about the being able to somehow go back and track those 156 schools and determine which ones are lead laden and which ones aren't, is going to take over a decade. And so it's not just what is happening now. It's the fact that generations have come through that situation and have been poisoned by lead. And when we talk about crime as this big issue and we want to build more jails and lock people up, it's like fool's gold. Because as long as you're poisoning generations of children, part of the problem with children being exposed to lead is the damage that it does to their brains, especially in the early development of those children. And so when you look at the damage that's being done, it's nonsensical to me that the cost that we wind up having to pay down the road by not fixing this problem early on is where we are now. And so when you see so many young people whose lives have been turned inside out and upside down because of the scourges of lead, then you understand the impact and why this has to change.
Oh, it so does. From the legislature, from the Trump administration on down. Earl Ingram is talking to us much more about that. Also coming up in this hour, we'll be talking to Dan Schaefer, Civic Media political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, and much more. And then, of course, tomorrow, we've got some of our usual friends on there. Joe Zepecki is joining us, Chad Holmes. We'll also talk to Jeremy Granger from Wisconsin Action. A lot coming up here. Live from Lake Wissota. Hey, thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Destination marketing organizations are working to ensure Wisconsin tourism is stronger than ever. Their work boosts Wisconsin's economy, supports jobs, and improves our residents' quality of life. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's a Wednesday morning. It's May 28th, 2025. Nice to have you along. We'll be talking to James Kelly about 30 minutes from now about stories that he's following in Northwest Wisconsin. But right now, our focus is on Southeast Wisconsin, and we're talking with Earl Ingram right now. Earl, I'm bringing in a heavy disclaimer to this next story. I do not normally like talking about crime stories. They happen everywhere. I don't like having Milwaukee feel singled out. But this particular trial I'm going to be talking about is one that is getting a lot of television attention. It involves the murder of a 19-year-old woman, Sade Robinson. The trial is going to be Maxwell Anderson, who was on a date with her, is accused of dismembering her body just over 1 year ago. When I'm looking at something like this, Earl, and I know down there in Milwaukee, every TV station's going to be following it nonstop, giving it all the coverage, and my hope is, and maybe outlets down there are already doing a good job, that we don't just make this about the murder and the guy that's on trial, but don't forget that this victim, Sade Robinson, was not just a person. She was a young woman who had everything ahead of her and all kinds of skills, education, dance, And all of that was taken away way too early for her life to simply be remembered by one sensational murder trial.
Well, you know, murder, unfortunately, is commonplace in our nation. And far too many times in the city of Milwaukee. But what makes this one, I think, stand out more than anything else is a couple things. Number one, Sade Robinson was a black woman, and the fact that Maxwell Anderson is a white man is always going to bring that kind of attention. Even if, you know, it was different and it was a black man who murdered a white woman. Certainly, that's the way our society is. But I can tell you that part of what is the conversation is in black Milwaukee, which makes up 38.6% of the city of Milwaukee, according to the latest census information, is that there's two blacks that are on, you know, this jury. And so one black man and one black woman, and the conversation that's going on in our community is how can that possibly be? And why is it the case? When we talk about a jury of your peers and the fact that, you know, the percentage of the jurors who in my community, people say there should be, the number should certainly be greater. Than 2 out of 12. It's a conversation that is going to be had. It's being had before, and it's certainly going to be had afterwards, and people will be asking those questions.
Yeah, this is something that the poll started with 73 potential jurors. It was reduced down to 12 women and 3 men. As you mentioned, 2 black jurors, and the court proceedings are getting underway right about now at the Milwaukee County Courthouse, and obviously something that's going to be getting a lot of attention in that area. If I can head down the road the other way a little bit toward American Family Field, I see that there's going to be a study finally about the potential for, you know, commercial development around the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium, which I'm sure in part has been inspired by what has been happening in the so-called Deer District around Fiserv Forum, where the Milwaukee Bucks play. And I just wanted to get your own thoughts on both of those, if the Deer District has been a positive development in downtown, and whether something like that for American Family Field is something that's in your mind either overdue or not needed or irrelevant. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, 2 things. Number one, we as the taxpayers certainly had to pay increased taxes in order for a billionaire, the guy who owns Mark Antanasio, who owns the Brewers, to be able to do the things that he's getting ready to do. At the same time, they cut the payroll. And so the Brewers that we are looking at now are not the Brewers that we saw last year before this major increase in taxes that the taxpayers had to pay in order to beautify and make it more palatable for Miller Park to be where it's what is going to be. And as they move down the road and more money that is going to be able to be realized by the owners of the Brewers should be reflective in the team. And yet that's not the case. And now, as far as what took place in the Deer District, you can move, you know, 2 miles outside of the Deer District, and it is chaos and mayhem. And that community has not seen any support financially or economically. So when you look at it from the perspective of citizens of Milwaukee, I get it. It's you know, kind of a Camelot down at the Deer District. But again, it's shameful that 2 miles outside of the Deer District is just chaos and it's feast or famine.
Yeah, we're not seeing the ripple effects as we should. So something to be mindful of as you look for potential new commercial development in other places. Earl Ingram's following all this and more for all of us at Civic Media out of the Milwaukee area. Earl, it's always great to talk to you. We will visit again next week.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. So again, just for a little bit more background there, the ballpark has a public owner. It's called the Wisconsin Professional Baseball Park District, and they're now requesting proposals from consultants to help develop a ballpark development report. Do you keep it with all of that asphalt out there for tailgating? Do you look for some commercial development? I liked Earl's point that whatever the case may be, this is going to raise money, just as the Deer District raised money. And is it going back into the community, or is it just another business investment for billionaire owners? We've got a lot of ground to cover yet here on the show. It's a Wednesday morning. It's May 28th, live from Lake Wasota. A reminder, you can sign up for our newsletters. This morning, we talk about it being National Hamburger Day. And where do you get some of the best hamburgers? And who sells the most hamburgers in some parts of Wisconsin? So sign up for that newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Live from Chippewa Falls, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The budget bill currently being considered in Congress would change environmental permitting for Wisconsin and other states. Large projects under the National Environmental Policy Act could pay a fee to streamline the process and also shield projects from litigation related to the NEPA. Thomas Hawkman from the Foundation for American Innovation said that the reforms may also make projects subject to political pressure.
If you let each administration determine what the cost is and also spend time determining what the cost should be, you could potentially see differences in treatment. Maybe a Republican administration drags their feet and puts out a really high cost for a wind project that's going through an environmental impact statement. Maybe a Democratic administration does the same for a pipeline that's going through an environmental impact statement.
Projects could still face lawsuits under other environmental laws, such as the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts. Wisconsin home sales are down over the past 2 months. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
The Wisconsin Realtors Association released its April report, revealing home sales experienced a significant downturn for the second consecutive month, falling 10.4% compared to April 2024, even as the median price climbed during the same period. Despite this monthly decline, year-to-date sales were down by a more moderate 3.5% compared to the first 4 months of 2024, buoyed by strong sales in January and February. Statewide, housing inventory saw a slight improvement, increasing 5.9% to a 3.6-month supply in April, yet this figure remains considerably below the 6-month supply indicative of a balanced market.
Home inventories have remained close to the statewide average here in the Cooley region. It'll be a day and night of overcast skies before we warm up heading into June. In addition to cloud cover, there'll be a chance of scattered showers overnight into Thursday. We'll see temperatures tomorrow in the mid to upper 70s before rising well into the 80s over the weekend. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. On the heels of Lilo and Stitch's incredible showing at the box office, it's time for a tip of the cap to Disney CEO Bob Iger, who returned to run the studio in 2022 in the middle of the pandemic. Variety reports that prior to his arrival, the studio was putting out too many films, quantity over quality. Some of the studio hits since Iger's arrival include Inside Out 2, Mufasa the Lion King, Moana 2, and Deadpool and Wolverine. The four films were some of the biggest hits last year. On the way from the House of Mouse this summer are Avatar 3 and Zootopia. Utopia 2. The Last of Us Season 2 is in the books. Last Sunday's episode pulled in 3.7 million viewers, a 30% drop from the season's premiere. Despite the 30% drop from the season premiere to the finale, the show is still outperforming Season 1 when it comes to overall numbers. HBO has already given the go-ahead for Season 3. There is no release date, but production is scheduled to start in June. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers or a thunderstorm possible today. Our high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy with a low dropping to near 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Perivonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
It's May 28th, but I'm looking way back at an Up North News post from late December that was already previewing some of the top live concerts coming to Wisconsin in 2025. It mentioned, you know, Kelsea Ballerini, who was going to be appearing at Fiserv Forum. There was Cody Johnson. Tyler, the Creator, had a concert coming up, and Justin Timberlake. On and on it goes for the first part of 2025. It also includes Def Leppard at Summerfest. But it's only grown, especially in the country music area. And in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning, it says country music is dominating Wisconsin's summer concert season like never before, and looks at some of the headliners for the annual Harley Homecoming. Has much more of a country feel for it this time around. At the BMO Pavilion in Milwaukee this summer, some of the big stars there booked would be the Avett Brothers, Riley Green, the country band Red Clay Straves. At the Raven Milwaukee, country breakout star Megan Maroney. Her concert has long since sold out. Alpine Valley, which was always a mecca for rock tours, their big concerts so far booked this year are Thomas Rhett, Willie Nelson's Outlaw Music Festival, Tyler Childers, and even Summerfest will include some draws like Lainey Wilson to the amphitheater. And then there is the big one, and that would be Morgan Wallen, with openers Miranda Lambert and Ella Langley headlining the first concert at Camp Randall Stadium in 28 years. And that'll be coming up on June 28th. You've got that. You've got Beyonce winning awards for her country album. It is more country out there than ever before. And Parker, it makes me wonder for somebody like you. I mean, here in Eau Claire, I've been to Country Jam, Country Fest before it changed its name over here in Cadott. Do you have your own experience with some of these many country live country concerts that we have going on around Wisconsin?
I don't think I've ever been to any, but I know a bunch of people who go to Country Thunder, I think it's called. I can't think of where that is. It's somewhere down here, yeah. And I know a bunch of people that have gone to that. Country is kind of one of those things that is up and coming again, it seems like.
Yes. Sort of. Yeah.
I don't know, but it's an acquired taste, it seems. It's very divisive.
It can be. Well, even in country, and, you know, long before the buzz about Beyonce's album and what's country and how do you define it, you had artists along the way that thought that country was getting too electric. It was getting too rock. I love Shizu on YouTube saying, "And I am a small, bright light of K-pop in my area."
you
represent
go.
Shizu. There is nothing wrong with that. But I do like the fact that you have these venues out here, so many of them, not just for your big names, you know, for Morgan Wallen and Miranda Lambert and all that, but you always get a chance, I think, in country more than in other genres, to see up-and-comers who then eventually do become stars. I mean, I recall being at Country Jam and seeing Faith Hill and Tim McGraw when they were nobodies. and going, God, these guys are good. You know, and they turned into something. Seeing Alan Jackson when he was much younger and, again, just an up-and-comer. I'm not the world's biggest attender of live concerts, but that is one of the best things is when you see somebody who isn't a star yet and go, they just might make it.
Yeah. I always love finding new music. That's kind of like a goal of mine that I have is to find someone before they come big. And that's just, yeah, country, you can do that.
I recall it was in college. And so obviously, again, we're going way, way back. But I remember working at the college radio station. And there was somebody there who she loved finding all the new music. And she was just so insistent that this group, Tears for Fears, was coming up. They were going to be the big thing. And they were. They had one hit, then another. And then I remember talking to her like, I don't know, a year or two later and saying, boy, I'll bet you're really loving all this Tears for Fears music. And she was like, oh, no, they're old news. You know, she was
tired of them now.
Only about finding, you know, the up-and-comers and the new ones. And, you know, good for her. That worked out. So, like I've had a lot of opportunity to go to concerts, but I don't know that anybody has better concert stories than I do. And by stories, I mean things that you'd play the sad trombone on. We've talked before about how at my high school prom, the entertainment, the musical entertainment, was Florence Henderson of the Brady Bunch and Tennessee Ernie Ford, because they were playing at the celebrity dinner theater next door where we were having prom. So you had to sit through that show before you could go to our prom in another ballroom and see a local band that was playing. That was one story.
That
my
rocks.
First people talk about first concerts. Okay, who you saw at your first concert? My first concert, Donnie and Marie, and why? Because they were playing at the Minnesota State Fair. Donnie and Marie had, you know, this show on in the 1970s. And my sister was absolutely gaga for Donnie and Marie and wore my mom down to the point where, you know, and she had to take all the kids. So there we all are, you know, all four kids, you know, and I'm the oldest. And then, you know, the three younger ones are all there in the stands. And so I can't fix it. Donnie and Marie was my first concert. And I got one more. Again, one of my earliest concerts would be Helen Reddy, because I was my high school girlfriend at the time was married to, or not married to, sure, her father was an executive at 3M. And this was at the 3M annual dinner, which was at the St. Paul Civic Center back in the early 80s. And I mean, this wasn't just like a company dinner. This was like with live entertainment. And out comes Helen Reddy singing I Am Woman and some of her other things. So I don't have the most auspicious list of early concerts, but I definitely have the ones that can tell a story.
You've got luck, it seems like.
I've got luck of some kind. Yes, that would be one way to put it. I wanted to see if anybody had added on to this. Well, Mr. Mathers is jumping on, saying that he's become more a fan of indie folk, which he thinks gets categorized as country. Like Parker, a big fan of finding artists before they get big. Greg Box getting ready for Matt and Aaron Air, but sent me over a note saying you should check out Lady Bird. Great band with country, folk, and punk influences, and really good songwriting. So good for them. Shiju follows up. Standing outside the hall for 7 hours, getting in for the sound check, then almost forced back outside without using the bathrooms. The guards let us, but then we had to hear the sound check continue as they were doing their little bathroom break as well here. On the text line, Tom from New Berlin. Helen Reddy was my first concert at Summerfest, front row center. It's not just me. You see? Because sometimes you get taken to shows and they become the thing that you remember. On the other end of the spectrum of live shows are the ones that you think they were a one-hit wonder, and then you realize they actually have much more talent than they let on. In my case, it was Rick Springfield. Remember Jesse's Girl? And a couple of other hits from the 80s and 90s. Why am I asking Parker this? Of course not.
Exactly.
Anyway, you're thinking, you know, that Jesse Springfield, he's a one and done kind of thing. Well, he was appearing at Rockfest in Cadott. And we were there to see other groups. It escapes me who it was. Maybe it was Boston that year or Hart. I'm not sure. Anyway, Rick Springfield's on the undercard. Rick Springfield had the crowd eating out of the palm of his hand by the time it was done. He was a true showman. The way he was working the crowd, there was so much energy. People were singing along to, I think he had three top 40 hits, you know, besides Jesse's Girl. They were singing along to that. And you're thinking, I'm cheering like crazy for Rick Springfield? But again, it comes down to, are you, you know, can you put on a show? And if you can, you know, well, that's great. You know, good for you.
I would rather see a really good storyteller than a, like, really good singer. You know what I mean? Like, somebody who can actually put on a show and just be fun with you for an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Well, not everybody is, because when I mentioned Alan Jackson, Alan Jackson's never been, shall we say, an electric performer. He literally just stands there and plays guitar. But the songs were so good, you know, telling a story or whatever, that people naturally followed along. Alicia puts up on YouTube, mine were all Christian rock. And then Shizu adds, there's some decent Christian rock bands that you don't even realize are religious. That's a whole discussion right there, is Christian rock. And the ones that are, I'm going to say the word preachy, and people think I'm using it improperly, and those that are more in the entertainment storytelling end of it, like country and like other genres as well. It's why I'm glad there's a Songwriters Hall of Fame, not just the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because I mean,
I didn't know that.
I didn't know. Wow. Oh, well, we're going to have a conversation sometime about the Songwriters Hall of Fame, because sometimes it is the person who's doing the singing. There are plenty of singers in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. But, you know, then others, they're just behind the scenes. Adam puts up, Arlo Guthrie is one of the best live storyteller musicians that's out there. Certainly have heard that as much as well. So you need that whole package to get things done. And some artists, they have staying power. There was Rick Springfield all those years later. And folks who listen to the show remember last year, or no, earlier this year? When the heck was it? No, it's late last year. Where did I take Sherry? To see Air Supply when they were in Milwaukee. And they were marking that they had been together for nearly 50 years. And there they are in Milwaukee singing I'm All Out of Love and Lost in Love and all the other love songs that Air Supply does. And they put on a good show. You know, a good show is going to sell regardless.
Yeah. I enjoyed seeing Hozier, if you know him at all. He's from Ireland. Really good show. He was so fun. He's just a funny guy. That's what I need. It's just somebody that's got a good personality.
Is he the one that had the big hit last year, You're Too Sweet for Me?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I say that only because, and I'm not ripping the song, but you ever notice sometimes there's a song and it's the one you hear every time you turn on the radio?
Yeah.
that was for me for 2024. It was, you know, if I'm just moving around on music stations, and it was like every time I hear him going, I take my whiskey neats, you know, a coffee black, I'm a bed at 3. Like, yes, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. And especially since, and now we're really getting into songwriting here, said the guy who's never written a song.
Me either.
But there is a difference in a song like that where it's the same chorus and you hear that same chorus repeated like 6 times through the song. It kind of, for me, it gets a little irritating. Contrast that to writers like, say, Billy Joel, and or I think Stevie Wonder was another one of them. Like, the second chorus will always be a little bit different, and then you'll come back to the first chorus, you know, after the third verse. That little bit of variety in songwriting, I really come to appreciate. Don Henley is another one. If I could talk to Don Henley, there would be a little bit about the Eagles. But I really would want to know more about his songwriting, because his lyrics are just so, so good. I don't know if you have anybody like that that you wish you could talk to about, you know, what inspires them.
Oh, I don't know. I got to think about that. I got to listen to more music. Like, I know I said that I like to find people before they're big, but I've got to listen to, everybody needs more music in their life. It makes you happy. It's the good stuff.
Let's go out with Shizu on YouTube. Can we talk about Baby Shark?
Shark.
In terms of lyrics. And now that's going to be stuck in my head for a little while. We will wrap things up for this Wednesday morning, May 28th, coming up in just a little bit. Again, a reminder to sign up for our newsletters, plural. There are all kinds now, including a weekend one that I put together for Sunday mornings. Sign up for those newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've got baseball on your radio as early as later this morning on some stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Coverage begins of the Brewers-Red Sox game starting at 11:35 this morning on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. James Kelly joins us now from Chippewa Falls, where he's covering the news for Civic Media for stations throughout western and northwest Wisconsin. Mr. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. Let's jump right into one of your stories here. And we've talked about it a couple of times leading up to this. The reminder to folks about supporting programs, food banks, and other things, because summer vacation's coming. And it's not just that there aren't going to be classes for kids, but there also aren't going to be school lunches for some kids. That might be the one good meal they get all day.
Yeah, there's a lot of state programs as well, just across the country generally, where, you know, schools will continue to offer that food during the summers, or even if schools do switch to like a 4-day school week instead of a 5-day school week, they'll still have, you know, childcare availability and food availability on that Friday, if that's the day they're taking off. But yeah, a lot of kids really only get stable meals from school. And when they hit the summertime, they don't always have access to get that food again. So this is just a program that's being run by the Hayward Community Food Shelf. Parents can register. The official registration date has passed, but they still take late enrollments. So you still have a chance to reach out and see if you can get your child enrolled in this. They'll get up to 20 pounds of food a month. And just kind of a way to make sure that kids are eating enough during the summer, even if they don't always have the best access to food.
Yeah, and I mean, it again shines a light on a lot of the cuts that are being made by the Trump administration in things like, you know, farm to food programs, farm to table programs, and others that benefit schools and food pantries. It's nice that community groups are stepping up. It's a very laudable thing, but again, it's happening because our tax dollars are being taken away from programs like that and not given back to us, but moved to tax cuts for other folks here. We live in an era now that treats our rivers differently than we used to. There, once upon a time, if you wanted a dam, you put up a dam. And as we've learned more about ecosystems and things like that, there are times when dams may not necessarily be needed anymore. And you're following a story related to that by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in western Wisconsin.
Yeah, so they're proposing the removal of two dams along the Kinnickinnick River. It's actually one of two ongoing projects in that area. Earlier this year, the Department of Natural Resources awarded a surface water protection grant to kind of build up the bank of the river to prevent sediment and nutrients from seeping into the water. But over the years, the dam has kind of degraded the river. There's more sedimentation, there's less aquatic diversity. It's just one of those things where, you know, they're saying if we just remove these dams, the river will return to its natural setting eventually.
Right. And by the way, for folks who might be confused, there's a KK River in far western Wisconsin that is a tributary of the St. Croix River. There's another one that is a tributary of the Milwaukee River in that part of the state. And by the way, for that one as well, there have been talk about, again, making removing some of the man-made impediments that allow sediment to form and things like that. I recall that with the Milwaukee River when I was working in West Bend, you know, 30 some years ago, they talked about maybe removing some dams. They don't all get removed. And then that leads to some issues. There were some years ago in Bloomer where, again, the DNR or the Corps of Engineers wanted to remove a dam. It wasn't needed anymore. But it would have meant draining, you know, the lake that's there in Bloomer, and folks had gotten rather used to it. And so they said, well, you can keep it, but I mean, you can rebuild it, but it'd have to be in private funds. And they managed to do that, and so they've got it back. But like you said, it comes with the sedimentation. Lake Altoona is notorious for the sedimentation that's there. So in all of these cases, you know, there are a lot of factors to consider that I'm sure they're going to continue following out there in St. Croix County.
Yeah, and that's an overall topic, I guess, of western Wisconsin right now. There's a much bigger focus on protecting the quality of water in rivers, in the water table below the ground. One of the big pushbacks against that concentrated animal feeding operation expansion in Pierce County is that there's not really enough of regulation on manure spread, and they're afraid that that's going to be seeping into the water supply and just causing general pollution. So, you know, in recent years, there's been a much bigger focus put on just the quality of water and what's going into the water.
Yeah. And as you follow stories up closer to Superior and Duluth, the problem of homelessness is in a growing number of communities in our area, Duluth, Superior among them, and people are looking at different ways to address them, some more popular than others.
Yeah, so this is it's a safe bay, which is essentially a place where unhoused individuals who have a vehicle, because quite frankly, a vehicle is a lot more affordable than rent or a house, can park their cars, vehicles, trucks, whatever, and sleep in them overnight. Now, this facility existed in Duluth already and was being run by CHUM, a nonprofit up there that is currently undergoing renovations and is not able to run that facility anymore. So the City Planning Commission granted a permit approval for a local church to have that there. And now some neighbors have appealed the approval of that permit, so it'll have to go back through the city council, and now the site is temporarily shut down. But this is not a problem that's unique to Eau Claire. Ashland has had a number of problems with homeless encampments. Duluth last year had a problem with an encampment just outside City Hall. Affordable housing is a problem everywhere.
Very much so. But I'd never heard that approach of people who are at least living out of their cars have a place where they can all go, you know, with their cars. I know I've been working with Hope Village here in Chippewa Falls on their tiny houses program. That's just a stone's throw away from where I am. And that maybe this tiny houses approach is a way to address homelessness as well. So again, many moving parts that James Kelly is following for us in Chippewa Falls. James, thanks so much. Appreciate you joining us. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
All right. Appreciate all of you joining us as well. Tomorrow we'll have Jeremy Granger from Citizen Action on. We'll have Sean O'Malley to talk about money and markets. We'll have Chad Holmes. We'll have Joseph Pecky and much more. Up North News is a part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy newsroom. Head to couriernewsroom.com to read much more. And, of course, upnorthnewswi.com, too. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll see you tomorrow morning up north.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Top Trump ally Elon Musk says he is disappointed with the budget bill President Trump hopes to pass in the Senate. The bill, which has already passed in the House, would add trillions to the national debt because of spending and extending the 2017 Trump tax cuts. Reality TV stars Todd and Julie Chrisley, convicted of swindling tens of millions of dollars from banks and the IRS, both expected to get pardons today from President Trump. There was a rally at Harvard University yesterday against the moves the president has taken against the school. Ryan Enos is a professor at Harvard.
Freedom of speech and due process, these are the foundations of the American system. These are the foundations of a free society. But Donald Trump is attacking these freedoms because they get in the way of his authoritarian takeover.
The administration says it has the right to set the rules for federal funding going to Harvard because of anti-Semitism. Macy's lowering profit expectations for the year because of uncertainty over the trade wars. This is ABC News.